When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Claudia Grace McKell has had to overcome a lot to get to where she is. The Essex actress overcame deafness and a serious car crash that could have killed her, but she still managed to succeed in the performing world. Currently, her aim is to shatter stereotypes. She's opting to do that through an independently produced film, Just a Girl. That film will be tackling a number of important topics, as it follows the story of a troubled young deaf woman who is desperate to be heard when she falls in love with a local hero. It focuses on the daily struggles it places on her family life, the social situations, and also her own self-esteem. It also looks at women in sport, particularly karate. Brought to you by Essex Live, this is Humans of Chelmsford, and this is Claudia Grace McKell's story. Claudia, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast and, of course, telling us about your story and about the film, of course, which is coming out in the very near future now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of topics to explore, both with the film and your own life, because I think the two of them almost intertwine in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So one of the key themes of the film that we're talking about before we started recording is the deafness side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Something you've got experience with yourself. So can you just start by explaining what part deafness played in your life growing up as a child?
So it was noticed at nursery that I was sitting on the sides and I wasn't joining in with the children, and it was my auntie who noticed. So my mum took me to the doctors and they discovered that I had a hearing issue. So I went and had surgery. I think I was about 3 years old, and I was also struggling with my speech as well. So there was kind of triggers to thinking that it was something to do with hearing. And I had an operation, and from that operation it left me with tonal hearing loss, which is kind of a weird thing to explain because I'm a singer. So at school it was never really understood because I could always sing, but what it affects is pitch. So I struggle with, it tends to be the lower range of hearing, and if there's a cacophony of sound. And the way I describe my hearing loss is sometimes there's a party going on in a room and there's windows and I can hear some of it, but not always. So, and it's hard to explain to people because sometimes it's really good. If I've got a cold, it's terrible. But that's it. I tend to miss things. And at school, that was where it was harder, because if you're in a classroom and there's lots going on, I used to miss things. So I had to sit at the front of the classroom. I had to, when I was doing my exams, instead of being in the big halls, I'd be in a small space. And all of those things had to be asked for and discussed. And to be honest with you, at school, I was fine. I tended to ignore the fact that I had a hearing problem. I just got on with it. I come from a family that are working class, and they're like, right, you're going to work as hard as you can to do whatever, regardless of what's wrong. So my hearing loss never affected me achieving. I would only thing it affected me with was socially, I suppose, when people had to repeat five times what they just said, and then they were going, right, do you know what? Doesn't matter anymore. Like, I can't tell you anymore this. So, and I kind of ignored it. And then it was only till I brought a conversation up with my mum, we were talking about when I had the operation, and I noticed she started to get upset. And I was like, oh, this actually has shaped my life, and I haven't really thought about it. And I was with one of my best friends wears cochlear implants, and she went deaf. I think she was about 13, and it was to do with an illness that she has. And I noticed people staring at her, and we opened a conversation up about how it is when you tell someone you're deaf, they suddenly lean in and start speaking really loud, or they talk to you like you're stupid. And I wanted to explore that within the film Just a Girl, because I think it's really important to create we create stereotypes, but to create positive stereotypes of deaf people on screen, and how this needs to be portrayed, because I think at the moment it's quite a singular opinion, and being deaf and hearing loss, it's so complex. There's so many different types that affects different ages, different types of people. So that's what I wanted to explore in the film, really, and explore also for me, like, just the whole process of learning about sign language, different hearing aids, different people's opinions. It's already been really interesting, and something that I think should be explored more and just doesn't always get the platform to. So that's what Just a Girl aims to do, give a platform for this topic to be discussed.
When you say the hearing loss side of things, or the hearing problems shaped your life, in what way do you mean? Is it all kind of come full circle towards this film getting made?
I think it made me a very angry and frustrated person, and it meant that I've had to use all my anger and frustration and put it into work. So I think that's where it shaped my life, and I'm still working that out. I think when you lose a sense or something's not quite right with you, especially in school, it's more noticeable, because anything's wrong with you, they want to pick on. I think that's where it shaped my life, and that's also how the martial arts came into it. I went to martial arts and went to dance was the main one, because I couldn't communicate. I couldn't, because I also am dyslexic, so I was smart, I was bright, and I had ideas, but I just couldn't get them out there. So my parents thought, how can we find another way of communicating? And dance is one of them. And also martial arts was a way of controlling that anger, of not being able to fit in with the social norms of normality of kids at school. And I've always been bright. And I think when you've got dyslexia or you've got hearing issues and you've got these things, people go, oh, well, you can't do that. And it's not you can't, it takes a little bit longer and it takes a little bit more work. And so I think that's where it shaped me. It's made me quite hardworking, and also it's given me quite a thick skin. So like, if anyone says anything, I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah, you say that, I'm going to carry on doing my thing. So I think that's where it shaped me, and it's affected my parents in different ways and my friendships. Sometimes I've had to drop friends because they just don't get it. If you're not going to be patient, or you're not going to like know that sometimes I'm not going to be all right, then obviously you can't be my friend. So I think that's where it shaped me, I think.
Well, in terms of then the martial arts side of things, because you touched on it there, and maybe getting the anger and frustration out, or at least focusing it somewhere. Mm. And it's often been said how important sport is. Mm. What sport can be, and releasing tension like that, particularly from a mental health standpoint. Yeah. Is that why you resonate so closely to sport in a lot of ways?
Sport has always been a part of my life, I think. I don't know why, but it just has. I mean, I grew up with my brother playing football in the garden every single day, and we lived by the sea, so we were always swimming. And then martial arts was introduced. I remember I used to go and watch my brother do martial arts, and I thought, why am I not doing this? So I went and did it, and ever since then kind of have fallen in love with it in different ways and always been drawn back to it. When I left for university, I didn't do any martial arts for about 3.5 years, and then my mum went, why don't you go back? I think you need to go back. You're getting a little bit frustrated about your career not being how you want it. Go and just do an hour a week, and that's what I do. And with martial arts, I've always found there's the two parts of the sport. It's physical, but there's a lot of philosophy behind it, and there's a lot of life skills, and you talk about how to achieve things in life, and, you know, failure, and that's why I think martial arts has been so important in my life. But sport in general has, because it's about being a team player, but also a leader as well. And I think you've got to be the leading woman or man in your life, but you've also got to be able to work with a lot of people, because they're going to make you the best you can be. So that's why sport has been so integral into making me a better person, I think. So yeah.
And you mentioned it before as well, having a thick skin, and martial arts, and specifically females in martial arts or female martial arts sports, I imagine that's an area that does come under a lot of criticism from people who are stuck in the dark ages, if you were, and don't believe women should be doing sports like that.
Mm.
How much of that is a motivating factor for you in changing people's perceptions?
Huge. I don't understand why women aren't... the problem is, I think people think that there aren't the women doing these sports. That's a complete lie. There are the women doing their sports, and there just isn't the press or the coverage on them. And especially with fighting, there's this whole belief that women can't fight because it's an aggressive sport or whatever. Martial arts is self-defense. It's not an aggressive sport. But there is no scientific proof that women can't fight. It's just what society wants to believe. And I think boxing has opened up fighting, and is also now opening up martial arts with it going into the Olympics. But there's still, like, women are massively underrepresented and there isn't the sponsorship where it should be. And I just hope in the future that more girls go to karate, not to be the Olympic champion, but just why not? Why can't girls do martial arts and fight? Why can't they do that? I don't understand that. So I'm trying to, through Just a Girl, encourage women and young girls that it's okay to do a subject that or a sport that is dominated by men. Why can't you? So that's what I'm trying to do through Just a Girl, is promote women in sports at a professional level, but also at the grassroots level of just going to a class. Why not? Like, it's a huge, we have a huge mental health problem within young women, and actually I think the coverage on male mental health is huge, but it's twice more likely that a woman will go through mental health and depression. And sport is a huge way of releasing that. And I think we need to be encouraging sport, PE at school, and also women in sport outside in clubs, in running clubs, in swim clubs, in martial arts clubs, all over. So that's what Just a Girl aims to do.
Exactly. We'll turn now to the performing, or mm-hmm. The acting side of things, because it's always been a part of your family, really. It's something you've grown up with. Again, is that something that as well as the sport and the hearing loss side of things has shaped your life into what it is now, essentially?
Yeah, well, my dad's an actor, Michael McKellen, so I lived on sets and scripts and watching film and TV and going to see him at the theatre. So I think it's always been a part of my life. I actually went to my first dance class in Chelmsford, Essex Dance Theatre, with Debbie Holm, because I was just an angry kid, dyslexic. Mum was like, how can we like work something out? I wasn't very coordinated, and dance was almost like a way for me to go and breathe. And EDT was definitely that home. It allowed me to do that, but it also allowed me to gain a skill. And then I decided to take it on and become a professional dancer, and went to Bird College. So I think performing has always been that kind of therapy and place that I can communicate. And then, weirdly, I kind of took a turn because last year I had a car crash, so I couldn't dance. And that's kind of where I went into acting and more film and being on set, because I think when you have a dad that's an actor or a family member or something, you kind of like, I'm not going to do that. That's his thing. I didn't want to do acting. I never, I always wanted to be a dancer. And then because of the car crash, it kind of led me into, why wouldn't I be doing acting as well? So that's how I've kind of come into the film industry, and that's where I'm at now. And I think it shaped me just because I've always felt like a creative urge, and I've always needed a place to kind of explore that. And doing that at Essex Dance Theatre, at Bird College, and my other projects that I've been on recently, it's given me that place to be able to communicate and say something. Even if it's not my project, you kind of can put a bit of you, an essence of you, in that. So that's what I kind of need, I think, a lot of the time.
That brings me on perfectly as well to the next note I've got written down, is the car crash.
Yeah.
Firstly, just describe what happened to you, and then maybe how it changed things. Was it sort of a wake-up point or a trigger for a lot of stuff you wanted to do?
So I was picking my mum up, and I was coming back from Hatfield Peveril Station, and it was on a bend that I do every single morning, and I just slipped on black ice and flipped my car, and I put my arm in front of the airbag, and the airbag, as it came out, just swung my arm and snapped it in two. So I've got a metal rod in my arm and six screws, and it meant I was out for 3 months, but realistically I was out for a year building my confidence back up and also regaining basically all my training at college. I literally just come out, and then it was all back to square one again. I think a car crash makes you realise how instant life is, and how I was kind of being a bit idle with my career. I was just sitting back, and I've never been like that. It was, and I think the car crash was made me go, right, come on then, you know.
Extra motivation,
yeah,
that you needed.
Absolutely, because I think when you have a car crash, you go, oh, right, okay, something could have happened really bad there. Something really bad has happened, but let's do something positive. So it kind of motivated me a lot to get back on my career and get back talking to like a load of my friends as well, things like that. I've connected back with old school friends because I was like, what am I doing? I'm isolating myself. So the car crash did that. The only thing it made me aware of a little bit is, because I've got a scar, is how I'm in a visual world. And then it made me, I was very obsessed before with how I looked, and my, because I went to dance, my weight and things like that. And now I'm not, weirdly, because I've got a big scar on my arm. It's kind of made me like, I don't really care about that. I mean, I have days where I do, but most of the time I'm like, if you don't like me for me and what I've got to say, then that's it. That's kind of cuts it for me. So in a way, it shaped me in that. But I think more, it just made me very, very motivated to do things now, because I think we talk about things a lot and we're constantly like, oh, we'll do it in the future. Just do it now. Like, and this is where Just a Girl came in. I was just like, right, I just got to do it. I can talk about it for the rest of my life. Just do it now. So that's how the car crash shaped me. Obviously, I wish I didn't have it, but it kind of changed my life in a bit. So,
how easy is that to do in the first place? Because a lot of people can go through something similar like that, and then it can have adverse effects on them. But it seemed to almost come naturally to you that it didn't turn out that way.
I've always been like that. If there's a bad situation, I turn it into a positive. I have to. But it does sit, I think if you do that quite quickly, it does sit with you for longer. So like, there are times where I go, oh, right, yeah, I need to just give myself a bit of time. But I think if anything bad is going on in your life, or you start talking to people and you realise, on a general, most people have had something really bad happen to them, regardless if it's their parents splitting up or their boyfriend dumped them on that day. Something like so simple can shape their lives, but it's about making it into a positive rather than it shaping your lives in a negative way. It's a lot easier to be happy, and it's a lot easier to be doing something that you love and positive than being a negative, angry person. It's harder to be that person, I've discovered, and I'm still working on it. Like, I get angry all the time, so I'm still working on being a better person and being positive and being the person that's the glass is half full rather than half empty. But I think when you have like a near death experience, it kind of makes you go, right, life is quite fragile and it's always going to be a bit fragile, but let's make it really good. Like, let's remember the good times rather than the bad times.
And making the most of the here and now, I suppose.
And what you've got. Yeah, definitely. And everyone around you. Because in that situation also, you realise how many friends and family that do support you. Even if they're not saying every single day, oh, you're amazing. They are thinking that every single day. So I think that's also what it makes you realise you have got people. And I think some people that are lonely and think they've got no one, there is always one person you can call, even if it's a stranger and says hello to you in the street. Like, that's one person. So I think that's what the car crash made me realise about life, really, I guess.
Exactly. Now to the grand project, I suppose we should call it, Just a Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a bit about the synopsis, if you like, because I know we've again touched on some of the themes that the central character has, but... Mm-hmm. Give us the synopsis and maybe the main messages as well that you're trying to put out there.
So Just a Girl is about a young woman, ex-karate champion, losing her hearing, and she's moved to a rural village with her mum and stepdad, and she's very unhappy. She's quite quiet. She's shut off from her family, and she goes back to a local karate class, and she meets a man called Massimo, and he takes her out and he kind of shows her some interest, and then in a local competition she completely loses everything. All her anger that she's been hiding suddenly comes out, and it's about what we do with that. You know, we can get angry and something's going wrong, and it's all comes into a full circle of we're all got things going on, like I've just been saying, really, and how we manage our anger, how martial arts can help, and how within something really good, still you're going to have pitfalls, you're going to have rejection, you're going to lose more times than you're going to win. So the film looks at that, I guess. So that's the synopsis in a way. It looks at a family and how a family struggles. It looks at the observers and strangers looking on a girl that's losing her hearing and how what she's given off to the world, how they see it and how it reflects on both them and her. So that's what the synopsis of the film is.
And essentially is why I touched on your own personal experiences first, because I think hearing that now, a lot of people can understand where those influences have come from.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of that storyline.
I think it's always, when I was never going to write, and the car crash was why I started writing, because I had a load of time. And I was like, well, I need kind of to release a load of this stuff. So I sat down at a computer and started writing something. And this is where Just a Girl came about. And I just think essentially it was a story and a message that I wanted to tell about me, but also allow me to go to other people and put other bits in. So there's like dialogue from other girls that are losing their hearing right now that I've put into the story, of mothers that have said, this is how it feels like to have a child that is really unhappy, and I've put that in. So it's my own experiences and other experiences, and also kind of the future as well, what I'd kind of like for people, because especially in Massimo's character, he's a man who's quite caring and observant, and there's kind of no phones, no text, none of that rubbish online. What it is about, like, when you see someone and you really like them, and it's about that attraction, because I think that's really important to still capture. I know we live in a world where we have got online dating, we've got every social media that we can talk through, but for me, I think it's so important, and I think to make us mentally happier people is to talk, and I mean talk face to face and touch, and if you're angry, let it out, don't just let it go in. So that's Massimo's character, is almost that. He is kind of what I hope people, male or female, will be in the future, rather than sitting behind a screen. I want people to be more vocal and more observant and more patient, and he messes up and then he redeems himself. So I think also we've got to allow that in a society and in the hearing community and non-hearing community, that we still don't really know. We're still ignorant, and we're not always being horrible about that. There are people that are horrible and ignorant to hearing loss, but there are people that just have never met someone that's deaf, so they don't know what that is. So that's also what Just a Girl shows, is sometimes you need a second chance, and sometimes you're always going to need a second chance. So yeah, that's one of the messages in the film, that if you mess up once, you're going to mess up 100 times more. Just keep getting up and keep moving forward.
Because in a social media world, everything is extra perfect, I suppose, through that lens.
I really wanted to create images of both female and male young stereotypes. Like Tyler Fios, who plays the sensei, CJ in it, I really wanted to cast him young, because I want to give people that young people can look up to, rather than this perfect being that, you know, you've got to look this certain way and blah blah blah, but you can still look that way and be great. I'm not saying that, but I just wanted to create real characters, authentic characters, people that are now, because I teach myself, and when I'm teaching the kids, I have noticed the pressures of how they look from social media platforms is because of that, and I think we need to create more authentic characters within film that people can relate to and believe that it's okay to be like that.
And you've acted before in films, had a load of different roles, I suppose, in other films in the past. What are the biggest challenges when it's your project, your idea, your story, and you have to put it into place?
Making it so that, thinking about your audience, because you've been in the script for a year, 2 years, you've been in these people's lives, you've pulled and pulled and discussed it, but making sure you talk to your actors and making sure the words like fit in their mouth, I always say fit in their mouths, talking to other people, like people that aren't in the film industry, read my script, read my idea, check it, because they're the people that are going to watch it. So that's been the thing that I've made sure, making the characters likable, because I think I've seen a lot of films where you, at the end of it, you're like, I really don't like any of these characters. So I quite like playing ugly characters, but I always try and make them likable. So that's been another challenge I've always found. Weirdly, it's been with the female characters, because they're so strong, but sometimes they can seem almost quite ugly and don't want to talk to them. So I've had to just shape their lines and shape how I'm going to shoot it and things like that. The struggles, the only thing is like making sure I've got the right team. I've always wanted to have, because of the topics that I'm trying to discuss, because of the time frame, I had to have an amazing crew. And also, like, it was an opportunity for me to put a crew together that I really wanted to work with. Like, all the actors, I've been in projects around them and not been able to have a scene with them or been on, like, with them. So I was like, I need to work with actors, one, that are going to give me the most amazing performance ever, because essentially that's really important, but also that I really, really want to work with and have that opportunity. And it's been the same with crew. Like, Andre, I've known all my life, who's doing the lighting on the film. I've worked with him on loads of projects, but not my own project, and been able to talk to him and communicate in that kind of situation. So yeah, that's the only thing, just making sure I've got the right crew, the right story to tell, and that everyone's in it as a team, because it is my project, but it's everyone's project at the end of the day. I think you become like the singular person with this idea, but at the end of the day, it would never have happened if you didn't have like all the people around you saying, yep, we want to do this, yeah, how can we help this, make this better. So I think that's what I've learned, is constantly talk to your team and get other ears and get other opinions on it.
And now that we're nearing the end of that process, how does it feel watching it all come together finally, after it's been in your life for years essentially?
Yeah, it's nice. And it's nice that I've been speaking to the actors a lot, and how they are thinking about the characters, and how they, and I was speaking to Gary, the cinematographer, how he sees shots and stuff. So it's nice, and now at the weekend it will be actually seeing it and actually being in it, and then we'll have the whole other process of post, which will be editing and how the sound and how the music adds another layer, how it looks. So yeah, I'm on to almost the next chapter, because I kind of see films and the making of films in chapters. So you have like the creative bit before getting it all together, then you have the bit that I'm not such a fan of, the producing side, getting like everyone to secure a day and all of that. And now I'm onto the bit, my favorite bit is being on set. I like being on set. So, and things can change within minutes on set as well. The lighting doesn't quite work, that word doesn't quite work on that scene. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I never dread, because I kind of like the not knowing. I like it all being things, I like things going wrong, because then I can go, oh, okay, that went wrong, how can I make it better? So yeah, I never dread or fret. I just go put myself in a situation where most of the time I have no idea what I'm doing, but
just dive in.
Yeah,
see,
exactly,
what happens.
Because if you're just gonna stand at the edge of the pool the whole time and the whole time of your life, then you're never gonna fully experience it. So yeah, I just dive in and see what happens.
Exactly.
Most of the time it's all right, it never's that bad. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to working with everyone. I've got such a nice team together, and it's nice to see the reaction from people. I put out some social media platforms for it, and it was nice to see people that I've never met contact me about it, about the subject, but about the projects, and about female filmmaking, about the fact that I'm a female director and writer. So it's all different audiences that I'm getting, and that's what's been, that's what I wanted to do, reach out to people. So essentially I've already achieved what I wanted to achieve anyway. It's now just to make the film and go to the next place with it.
And again, going forward, I know it's being entered into some film festivals as well, but how can people go about seeing it, finding it, and watching the reception that it gets?
So it'll be entered into film festivals, and then I will have a release next year, because the karate going into the Olympics, I want to coincide with that. And it will be released onto all platforms to be seen, and that will be, once that's in place, that will be announced and showcased. And I want as many people to see it and as many people to talk about it. So that's where I'm there with how people can see it. But to be honest, you need to follow and share and like, and then we can get more of a reaction and go further with it. Because that's what's amazing about social media, is it creates an audience that you would never have normally had. And it gets people talking. So that's what I want to do, just get people talking about hearing loss, martial arts, women in the film industry as well, in director and writer roles and producing roles, and going forward for that. That's what I, that's the whole point of the film. So if I the film is amazing that I make, but just creating a hub of people and opening up a topic that's not always an open topic to discuss, that's what I wanted to achieve.
Exactly. And I'll round this all off with a two-part question.
Okay.
First bit being about the film industry. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be in? But the second part, for those who want to be in it, mm-hmm. what would be your main bit of advice?
Okay. I love the film industry. I've fallen completely in love with it. It's like the best boyfriend I've ever had. It never lets me down, but it does let me down sometimes, but I'm always falling in love with it constantly every day. For someone that wants to get into the film industry, I have this huge issue with, I'm on set and there's people that say, I want to be in film. Right, ask the question. Do you want to see your name in a credit and go to your mates, I'm in a film, or do you want to be in film? Do you want to know about the lighting, the watching the rushes, talking to the actors, learning about some crazy thing that happened on set on 2 weeks ago? Or do you want to just be, you know, a reality star? You know, because there's all of that out there. That overnight fame, you can go and do that if you want to go and do that. But if you want to be in film and want to love film, it's really hard. There's not much money in it at the indie level. But it's because we love it. That's why we do it. It's because there's constant rejection, but we might get one amazing job. And, you know, I've been able to go to Bulgaria from sitting in a room and not thinking I would go to Bulgaria to film. I've been able to work with my dad on set, which is pretty cool. Work with people all different walks of life. But that's my biggest thing I have with people that say they want to be in an actor or want to be in film. Do you want to actually do the hard work, or do you want to just be famous? There's a difference. And I don't want to be famous. I just want to work and tell stories. And everyone has different reasons for going into it. Some people just love how light captures people and want to be a lighting. Some people love scores. So I never put people off going into the film industry. It is hard, but all jobs are hard, essentially. Like, if you want to be really good at them... it's not brain surgery. There needs to be more teachers and brain surgeons than actors. There's a lot of us. I think that's also what you need to be aware of. Like, I go to auditions sometimes where there's like 300 people up for that part. But if you're in love with it and you love it, you'll always do well at it. So there are times where you will fall out of love with your job and you have to fall back in love with it. But if it keeps bringing you back to something, then maybe that's your answer. Maybe you should be doing it. But that's what I say to people that want to be in the film industry, and it's never too late either. If you are in a job that you don't like and you've always loved film, and you just get on set, like, go on. There's loads of people on social media. Contact people, talk, email them. You know, I emailed some directors saying, can I just shadow you? Well, if they say no, they say no, but they may say yes. And if they say yes, why not go and do something you're interested in? I do stuff out of film that I'm not interested in, just so that I get different kind of experiences. So that's what I'd say to people, and about the film industry, is that it's really amazing. But it's like life. It's sometimes really good and sometimes really bad.
Always has its ups and downs.
Yeah, and I think that's important to recognise, that it can't always be great. You can't always be, you know, working with Brad Pitt, you know, at the Oscars. That doesn't always happen. And those people started off as a runner, or started off in the film, in the cinema. Like, they started off that before they came there. And I think we see... because of social media, but also because of just how we talk, that we suddenly got to be the top straight away. Well, you know, you've got to work your way up to get to that point. So yeah, that's what I'd say about the film industry and getting into film.
And very good messages as well. Essentially, if you work hard, you put the extra miles in, you'll get where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that, Claudia, thank you so much for coming on to this episode. A lot of important messages left, right and centre there. A bit about the hearing side of things, the car crash and bouncing back from that, but as well as the sport side, the female storytelling side as well, and ultimately the movie. And we hope it all goes to plan, and that you get the success that you hope in the next few months.
Thank you very much.
A big thank you to Claudia for coming onto the podcast to share her story. You can find a link to the page for Just a Girl in the show notes. Humans of Chelmsford is available on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Essex Live website, or the podcast platform of your choice. Join us next week as we hear from another Chelmsford guest on this podcast.